Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Have you been seriously injured? Mama Justice is here for you. Our medical team partners with top-notch doctors, surgeons, therapists, and urologists, ensuring a comprehensive recovery journey. If you've been injured, call Mama Justice today. We're here for you.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green, here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Look who's here. It is great to be back. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good whatever time you happen to be listening to this program. I hope you're here live because I'd love to hear from you, see your texts, get your phone calls. But if not, there is, of course, always the opportunity to take Mama with you in download form. That's, quite frankly, the easiest way to put it. You just go to supertalk.fm. And you can get all of that info. You can go on demand. You can get pieces and bits. You can also follow me on social media and see some things there, too. So appreciate it very, very much. Well, I have to say, I have a list of thank yous about 2 feet long, but let's start with the main one. Ken Hackman is a joy, a treat, a wonder. And I really, really appreciate that he was able to take over the reins here last week while I was in the marrying mode, but not me. Y'all don't get excited. I'm not doing that again. We've been discussing that this week. Who gets married more than once? Well, me, but not everybody else. And in fact, I'm happy to say that the wedding, the flowers, if you need flowers for a wedding next year, you should get in touch with me and Floydine's Flower Farm because they were spectacular. We really did have a wonderful time. Beautiful flowers, great colors for an autumn wedding. And yes, there was that matter of the tropical storm. So, of course, all of the plans that had been put into place, if you're an event planner, as the bride is, there's plan A, there's plan B, there's plan C. We were kind of into plan D at points because the weather kept shifting on us, but it turned out to be the best event it could possibly have been, even if we had started out knowing there'd be a storm. So it was lots of fun, and thanks to all of y'all for your good wishes and your kindnesses. I always hesitate to put pictures of myself up on the world wide web. Well, you know, people like to take shots, but it's a sweet photo of me and the bride, and quite frankly, I don't think anybody has taken a shot at that one because we look too sweet. We had a great time, wonderful family, people from 3 countries and 10 states at least, maybe 11 if I think about it. Just a wonderful gathering, family and friends forever. And that's really, Ken Hackman made it possible because he was willing to come here and do this for me. And of course, that means that Lance had to come here and do that for himself and also for Ken Hackman. So thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Ken, because they may have had to make me sit in the host chair.
Well, and I know you could feel the questions, but they wouldn't have the same answers.
No, they would have been like, let me look on the
Listen, did we talk about that some other time? But, you know, but
I'd have found an answer. I just couldn't guarantee
the truth of the matter is, if I had the energy, the time, the wherewithal, I would definitely go on any birding expedition, local, international, across the country, around the world, whatever Ken Hackman's doing. That you will have a great time.
So. Yeah, his knowledge base is just so broad. It's not just birds; it's everything.
Oh no, it's there. He's a field biology teacher, for heaven's sakes. He knows everything. He knows all those things I don't know. So that's another reason why we're such good friends. I have to say thanks in advance to all of y'all who listen to good things on Super Talk. I hope you do. Rebecca's going on vacation next week, and I will be sitting in for her from 2 to 3 in the afternoons, Monday through Friday. Not gardening. We're doing other good things. And because her producer is also going on vacation, guess who'll be there? Thanks, Lance. More extra time. And then Rhino will be in Wednesday.
Yeah, I've never done good things, so I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be a whole new world. Good things has never seen us, and now it will. Right. So we're going to have a good time. photos today that will be coming up at Super Talk TV. I'll include a bunch of things, and I'm going to tell you why that is. I have things that are blooming. I have things that I wanted to show you, a few things from the wedding. And also, we now have a new dilemma that has just come in on the text line from Peaches. We've been talking about this plant, and I know this is not a knock on anybody who plants things, anybody who does things, but here's a dilemma. You have a shrub next to your driveway, and it's so big over the years that it scratches your car and also blocks the view. Now you might, that might be good for privacy. On the other hand, you'd like people to be able to see the front of your house, probably because they need to deliver the mail or come by and drop off a pizza or whatever it is. So is the answer to keep pruning this massive shrub, or is there another approach? So I'd like to know what y'all think about it. I know what I think, and it's not too kind because, well.
You got to go over to Rebel Ace and Pearl, giving them a little promo for pre-buddy show.
We appreciate them.
And, no, the angled trimmer is a lifesaver.
A very
cool
thing.
Because there's a hedgerow
I
have to trim, you know, for my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, good 6-7 feet tall, and you can angle it. And, it makes it so manicured and beautiful. So if you're my suggestion would be to borrow somebody's, you know, mm-hmm, lightweight mm-hmm, trimmer, because mm-hmm. that is a pretty bush. It gives you some privacy. You're talking about the one on the driveway.
The one we're looking at over here. It'll be up on Super Talk TV in just a few minutes. It's bigger. The person taking the picture put himself in the picture so you could see how big the shrub is, because this is a human being. You know? Anyway. I have other thoughts. You're talking to the person who has an old woody lantana on one side of the driveway and Adam's needle on the other. So I'm well aware of scrapes and snaps and all of the, you know, I have to prune things back frequently. So maybe it's good. Maybe it's too good. I don't know. Anyway, we'll talk about that. I've got several things I'd really like for us to get into today. First of all, there's a lot to be done. Let's look ahead. Next spring is coming up, and I know that if you don't grow any vegetables or any herbs or anything like that yet, trust me, you want to, and this is going to be the year to do it. So let's start this project, as they say, ab initio, which means from the beginning. What do you do if you want to plant a vegetable patch? Well, we'll talk about containers another day, but a lot of people would like to have that nice vegetable patch in the backyard, at least with big planters, if not in ground. Either way, though, you've got to have a site that's sunny. You got to have access to water. And, of course, you've also got to know what you want to grow. But getting that space ready, getting the soil prepared, getting the boxes built, if you're doing that, really at this point in the year means a great deal to your success next year. There are at least two reasons, probably more than that, but I thought of two. The weather conditions right now are great for garden bed preparation, but things could turn really wet or frigid or both at any point in the next weeks before spring comes. Believe it or not, if you're looking at planting potatoes in February, if you're looking at planting carrots and broccoli and those kinds of things in late February going into early March, if you're further north of us, like around Memphis or that area, you are going to have to really have that soil ready, because that can be a very wet time of the year. If you have to wait for good weather to get back to us to start digging, well, you're not going to have time to grow these things, because the weather will turn too warm before you have the opportunity to harvest. So there's also time now for a soil test. If absolutely nothing grows in that space, you do need to test the soil. If even weeds grow on that sunny site, you're probably okay for a couple of years, but you might want to know the pH anyway, and there's plenty of time to find those things out. It can make a big difference in how it all goes going down the road as far as whether you're going to get anything. It doesn't really matter whether you use conventional fertilizers or, my favorite, the sustainables. This is the time to get started, because letting the new bed mellow always makes it better in any case. I don't know exactly if you've taken the instructions seriously about getting a soil test, but the ones that are done from the university are very, very good. One more tip. Early bread Early bed preparation also means that you can get ahead of the weeds that come up. If you need to use landscape fabric, remember you really can't seed through that, but you can plant through it. So you may want to use that as another way to get your spring garden started a little bit early. I don't think there's ever anything to be wrong about prep, and particularly when it comes to the soil. You know, I don't know if you're going to be putting in some fertilizer to help work things out. If you need lime, you'll find that from the soil test. But I really do think that there's a lot to be gained from doing this work now. I have a couple of times in my life had the opportunity to watch other people wait until that spring weather gets better. And then they start up and, you know, the next thing you know, well, then it's summer. The whole thing just runs past you. You've heard me say before that if you don't really start in January with the pruning and go on and, you know, getting your ornamental grasses in shape and whatnot and going on into roses in February, you kind of get behind once you get into springtime. And before you know it, you want to prune gardenias and it's, you know, August or something and something inappropriate. So getting ahead of things just never really hurts. Today, my friends, is fast food day. So I would kind of like to know what's your go-to? What's the one that you can't resist? If you even want to define it, how fast does it have to be fast food? But it is National Fast Food Day, so I think everyone needs to let me know. Is it going to be fried chicken, or is mama's just that much better? Not this mama, but your mama's that much better. Do you go for a particular cuisine in the fast food world? Do you go for the shortest line? I'd kind of like to know. I know that there are a lot of us who have eaten a lot of food in our cars and taken a lot of bags home from places. And, yeah, we're usually looking for something a little bit quicker. So what is your favorite? What's the fast food that's your go-to? Do you love it? Do you hate one?
I mean, I love tacos, but they're the worst thing in the world to eat while driving.
This is true.
Yeah, so
this is
true. You just pull over.
You have
over
to take the bag home.
Yeah, and then, you know, and to-go tacos aren't the best once you get them home. So
no,
it's like a parking lot food.
I think that's true.
You know, that's kind of what I've gone with in the recent years is just once you get them, just pull over and eat them in the parking lot.
You'll see him. You'll recognize him.
With six crunchy tacos going down. But no, the best to eat in a... In a car, what do you think? Like, what's the easiest but awesomest? Middendorf's, I told you, don't get the very thinly fried catfish po' boy and try to eat that driving. It's not a good idea.
Not that that's fast food.
No.
That is one that you cannot
get
into the vehicle.
That's three beers of fast food. No, it's worth it. But yeah.
Of course, but it is a very difficult thing to manage.
Yeah, now, like a Central Grocery muffaletta.
I tend to think things that are kind of wrapped a little bit are better. If you're getting fast food and the person knows how to roll a burrito, the burrito will have a bottom on it and it will also be in paper.
Right.
So that makes it a lot easier to eat.
That.
But too often the whole thing explodes all over everywhere and, you know, it's a big mess. Mm-hmm. So I like fried okra to drive with.
I
like things I can just pick up. I don't even need no ketchup. No ketchup, no pickled okra. Well, I mean, I eat that, but not driving. But as far as pick up fast food and go, I have thrown many a chicken nugget into the back seat when my kids were going down the street. But it's very difficult. It has to be something that isn't going to end up in your lap.
Well, you know my affinity for Ward, so I think I've perfected.
I was waiting.
I've perfected the chili cheeseburger in the lap to drive with. I'm good at that. That's
really
the one I am
dangerous.
Good at. Yeah.
Sounds really dangerous.
Dipping your fries, too, while you're at it. You know?
Andrew says Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A is easy. They package it well.
They do. They know you're going to travel.
Yeah, they know you're in a car.
You've
got eight kids with you. You're all, we're hungry, Mom. Where's Chick-fil-A? Yeah, there you go.
You know, I had a kale salad from Chick-fil-A the other day, and I don't think I knew they did that. So that might be something I have
kale
to
kale salad. I might have to play JJ Kale
attention.
Today
to pay more attention to
that.
But I like that, Andrew. You're right. Oh, that's a beautiful one. I'm looking back at her asters and stuff. The beautiful blue flowers. Blue is so hard to get into the garden in the fall. And if you're going that way, please go to the blue asters, go to ageratums. You know, those are hard. The plumbagos are still blooming in some places, but not for long. We've got a fairly cool patch coming that's going to take some of those things and put them into a different point of view. But, yeah, she's right. She's giving them a good sound out. I don't think that there is I have to admit there's not just one, and I have been occasionally, I have been known to go to the shorter line. If I was in one of those fast food alley kind of things, and yeah, I was in a hurry, I'll find
like a
something.
NASCAR race.
I'll find something.
It's pole positioning.
You know? That's right.
You know, if you don't hit it right, you can definitely get hung up by the one. You think you're in the speedy
oh,
one,
no.
And you get somebody that's ordering for the office.
Right,
you know,
that's,
you're done,
that's
yeah.
a mess.
And
yeah.
you're stuck because
you're
you can't peel
you can't
off.
Move.
Yeah, you can't peel you can't off
move.
Of that deal.
That is, and Andrea says she loves that kale salad too. So I'm not crazy.
I'm gonna have to try.
It was good. It was really good. Jerry in Boonville wants you to know that radio would be boring if it was not you. So
oh well, thank you. I appreciate it. I love hanging out with y'all. Y'all are my favoriteest thing of the week. I get to do it a lot, so you might as well love it, right?
Exactly.
You know? That's what I try to say. People are like, man,
it does make the time go faster.
Always. I mean, I'm kind of glad that it's funny because you will look down and you'll be 2 hours in. And you're like, man, what did we – you kind of – everything runs together. You know, so you got to step back. I'm glad I get to edit everything because then I get to, you know, fast forward through my voice and hear the real good content. But it kind of jogs your memory. I'm like, oh, yeah, we went through all of that. You know, it's so much.
To get to this. We went through all that to get to this. That's true.
Because it does. You know, it moves so quickly.
Well, speaking of moving quickly, I changed the format of the newsletter, as a lot of y'all know. And I'm getting lots of good response to it. So we're going to launch here in a couple of weeks for the upcoming year. And I'll tell you all about that when that gets worked out. But, yeah, there still will only be one, maybe two pieces of video in it. There's going to be more pictures. There's going to be tips, and they'll probably be shorter. I'll have to write tighter. But
write tighter. I like that.
Yeah, people don't like to read. But you're talking to the woman that for 14 years wrote 50-word tips for gardening, like 12 and 15 of them at a time. And they made sense because I had editors that knew what they were reading. It wasn't like I was just throwing it out there. But you do have to write tight. And I'm trying every day to do that a little bit better. One of the pictures that you will see in supertalk.tv today, and if you got the newsletter, you also saw it, it's the disco balls in the crepe myrtle tree. I've decided that is probably my go. If anybody says, what would you do at any wedding, in any big event, anything you were going to do, I'm going to tell you that I'm going to hang disco balls in the crepe myrtle trees. These were great. Every piece of light that hit them in the daytime, the sunlight hit them. They were beautiful. At nighttime, the other lights hit them. It was great. I've never had a disco ball.
Gotcha.
These were like the size of ping pong balls all the way up to much, much larger. It was fun. Anyway, that's all what's going on with me. Let me hear what's going on with you. This is the Garden Mama Show.
To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to build up, a time to break down. A time to dance, a time to mourn.
Between the blue sky and green grass, there's a Mississippi cattleman making sure the food you need is on your local grocery store shelves. Whether it's a big juicy steak or hamburgers for your backyard cookout, our food starts right here. Because for these cattlemen, it's not just a job, it's caring for the animals that make up our nation's food supply. Just one of the many commodities a Mississippi farmer grows for you, the Farm Families of Mississippi.
When it comes to returning money to Mississippians, Treasurer David McRae is on a roll. He's already returned almost $100 million in unclaimed money to Mississippians through the Treasury's Unclaimed Money Program. Now, he's refocused the state's college savings initiatives, Max and Impact, to emphasize technical, trade, and teacher-focused career jobs and skills Mississippi needs. Don't let another day go by without getting a jump start on a career or getting back the money that's yours. Visit Treasurer David McRae at Treasury.
We've sent that Rip Van Winkle.
That puppy's getting a lot of attention today. I believe it must be her birthday.
I almost brought Hawk, but he looked so comfortable.
He said, it's 44 degrees out there, dude.
He would have been ready to go, but I was like, man, I don't want to disrupt that. Be up all day. And we were up late, too. You know, you get out of here a little late on a Friday night after an amazing night of high school football, and he was on one. The weather is just crisp and wonderful. The high sky, the most beautiful moon. It's just breathtaking coming in to work on Friday, and that moon was just hovering over the reservoir.
Gorgeous, isn't it?
It was so full. And so I'm listening, and I hear that's called a beaver moon also.
It's the second, moon. The last super moon of the year. I know that.
Is a beaver moon?
Well, this particular one.
Okay, yeah. That's what they've I'd learned that. But if anyone knows why, there was no real explanation, and I haven't really had time, but I figured somebody would know why.
Somebody
it's known
as
a beaver moon.
That we
Maybe
may
because
or may
the
not.
Beavers do all their work.
We may want you to screen that particular answer before you put it on the air.
Well, it isn't a Native American one, so this
you
isn't.
Don't
like,
mind.
Yeah, I won't mention
Thank
it without
you.
Further
Appreciate
research.
That. Appreciate that.
But what a beautiful night. I mean, last
Gorgeous
night.
Night.
Got
Gorgeous
to,
night.
And the dogs, they had such a blast. The owls were a hooting, and you could hear the foxes out kind of chipper, and everybody was it was a fun night. You could tell there were a couple little parties in the neighborhood, and the weather. Yeah, the bonfire.
It gets everybody out.
Yeah, well, we have a great bonfire pic here where, you know, not really. It's on a table. But it looks great. Any type of fire this time of year, I'm just kind of migrate to it. Do you enjoy? I know you have the fire pit, but do you like
Oh, that's the smallest fire pit that I've ever had. I like big pits. I like all the rubble around everything and the only space in between where I don't have any trees and burn all that stuff. I love that. Me and the fire department are good friends.
Yeah, I've told you stories about my dad. He
I'm not the pyromaniac that some of our friends are.
But no, he was the best.
But there are more efficient fire builders than I. But there's no one that enjoys it more than me.
This time of year, you got to enjoy it because it's perfect weather.
Oh, yeah.
I loved it. But last night was beautiful. I hope you all out there getting to enjoy some crisp, cool evenings. We've all been waiting for it.
You know we have.
All of us.
Get out and take a walk, too. This is the perfect time of year for a hike or a bit of a going because we have news this week from the American College of Cardiology, which, quite frankly, we should pay more attention to anyway. They're not hysterical. They give us information that's based on research that is actual science, and we need to pay attention sometimes. If you sit down more than 10 hours a day, to whom are we speaking now? Well, that sedentary behavior is not good for your heart. You're better off getting up, standing up, moving around, and perhaps that's why in previous incarnations of Radiar, everybody stood up. That was considered the way that you breathed properly and all that stuff. But we don't do that so much anymore because we understand that you can breathe sitting down. But more time spent sitting, reclining, or lying down during the day may increase your risks of cardiovascular issues. More than roughly 10.5 hours of sedentary behavior per day was significantly linked with these problems. So pay attention. As one who writes for a living at different points in my life, I have had to set a clock to say, stand up, move around. You know, don't write for 4 hours. You got to do this a little while and then get up and move around. Same thing is true of any sedentary behavior. Let's see, Don in Pearl. Yeah. Well, Don says, how do I care for this lemon tree through the winter, and when do I need to transplant them to the yard? They're beautiful trees, by the way, but I don't grow mine in the yard. I grow mine in a container, and it takes up way too much space in my house in the wintertime, but I just harvested 2 dozen fruits, or actually a few more than that, over the last couple of months. So I'm for it. I keep it. I love it. But it's going to need a container that's a little bit bigger than the one it's in now, the clay pot one. And I do prefer to grow them in plastic, as you've done the other one, because I think it helps to keep their root balls moister, particularly when they come inside. So good, well-drained soil, slightly larger pot than they're in now, sunny window or supplemental light inside. then just as soon as when the temperatures are going to be below 40, you bring it in. When the temperatures get above 40, 45 or so, put it out. And if you will do that, you can leave lemons and satsumas and kumquats in the ground in zone 8. Unfortunately, when we have the bad years that we have, you kill the top and end up with nothing except for the bottom growth, which is that thorny rootstock. So I don't want you to do that. I want you to have these for a long time and have lots of lemons. So grow them. Plan to grow them indoors. And since I can see you have a garage there, even if you have to put lights in the garage and close it in there because it won't fit in your house. So yeah, see now. On supertalk.tv right now, we are looking at that, well, the holly that ate the house. Goodness gracious, that's a lot of plant. And this is the second time that it has been pruned, and it's just continuing to get bigger. It grows out into the sidewalk, and it's a mess. I'm going to just tell you what I think. People are reluctant to weigh in on this. I would yank it out with a pickup truck and plant something else there that's not going to be a problem all the time. By the time you spend money to have someone come and prune a shrub like this three or four times a year, you have paid for yanking it out of the ground and planting something else. So you might have use for this. You might want to put it in the backyard, put it in the corner where you don't want anybody to come through the gates or come through the fence or something. But I don't think the front yard is the place for that plant. And even if you tree farmed it, it would not be attractive. So there you go. There you go. How about that? Oh, that's nice. Really, really nice. All right. Now, believe it or not, we are past the date when ordinarily there is a first frost in Zone 8. We're getting a little bit cooler, and this next week is going to be a nice dip, but then it's going to warm up again, y'all, so don't get too excited. I'm saying, because we are turning on heaters now, and yes, thank you to to all of the forces of the universe, my heater came on when it needed to this week. But if you have a place to put your plants indoors and you haven't brought them inside yet, bring them inside today. Because if the air is so dry when we put the heaters on that we end up with a really bad environment for the plants if they're coming directly from the humid outside. So give them a little transition. Hopefully today will be enough for them, but you need to go ahead and get them in before it actually dips and gets much colder next week. Okay. I don't know who that is. Okay, never mind. We'll let that one go. Now, when you give me a call here, we can talk about your plants. Can I talk to Jesse? Is that okay? You can do that. What's going on with your cardoons, Jesse?
Well, I need some advice. I'm not that familiar with their growth habits. Mm-hmm. I know they're not the kind that blooms and dies. Mm-hmm. But they seem to bloom and disappear over the summer when it's hot.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they get dug up when I'm, doing other stuff. But now I have a few that are coming up, and they're actually getting big. You know, they can get
nice,
really big. So I guess what I want to know is, should I just mark them and leave them in the ground and let them come up? Do I transplant them or what? I just don't know how they work.
I like them. If you've got them established and they're coming back up over and again for you, you have literally beat the clock. The problem that cardoons have is that they get really, really large, and people go and start trying to cut them back, in the middle of the summer. I mean, the middle of the spring. And then they try to grow in the summer, but they're not really suited well for the heat. So they're better on the opposite ends of super hot weather, particularly when we have 100-degree days for several days at a time. Cardoon is not it is not one of those plants that can take a whole lot of changes. So that's why I say if you've got a planting area that is taking care of itself, I would not disturb it. I would be happy. I would celebrate.
Okay.
Build something around it.
Okay. So
they're beautiful plants.
So don't fix it if it ain't broken.
That's my opinion. Because they're tell you right now that probably five times over the last 5 years, someone has said to me, I planted cardoons twice and they died. I give up. So, and you may be right. people just think they've died, and then they go dig them up and do something else, and that area doesn't ever get to establish itself. So I think you've figured this one out.
Yeah, that's what I think happened. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you so much.
Great to hear from you. Thanks a bunch. You know, one of the things that we all often talk about are things that are serious questions because we haven't encountered them before. A while back, Jesse and I were having a Facebook back and forth conversation about Philippine lilies. And since that always, I know now that there will be 6 or 7 people in the next 2 weeks that have no idea we talked about cardoons that will be asking about cardoons because I have just, over the last 6 months, had so many people suddenly want to know about Philippine lilies that don't even know this show is on. We run in those kind of circles, and that's why there are trends in plants. Sometimes, you know, when something will be really popular for a while, if you recall a number of years ago, antique roses or old garden roses or however you know, there's 6 or 7 names for them, landscape roses. All of those things seem to be the most popular plant in the garden center. Well, maybe everybody got some that liked them, or maybe people had good success and other people didn't, but you don't see that as much. You see more like, get yourself to Antique Rose Emporium if you want to know about that stuff. Get yourself to Chambly's, or find yourself a group locally that does this. And I have to say that the more I look at things, the more I think there's going to be the revival of garden clubs and plant societies and local groups that are devoted to making sure that everybody gets the plants. The master gardeners have done a really good job of it, but there's other people who can't make that particular routine. They don't have the time to volunteer or go and take the classes. So they just need smaller arrangements with equal impact. So that's what I think's going on. I really do. Wait for more news on the cardoon focus because they will come along. Today is dun, 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 dun. That's a pretty fire. Today is Clarinet Day. Now, I don't play the clarinet, but I do appreciate Benny Goodman. I appreciate, you know, I kind of appreciate Kenny G. I'm glad he plays.
Does he play the clarinet? I mean,
he has.
He plays the sax, and there's a couple other horns.
Yeah, he has played.
He's a master.
Yes, the reed instruments are his bailiwick. Bailiwick.
Yeah, there you go.
How do you say that?
Bailiwick. I think if you're English, bailiwick.
Clarinets came along because people played recorders. You know, they were basically tubes of reeds with holes in them, and you could make sounds out of it. And then you put a reed in the top of it, and suddenly you had more ability to manipulate the sounds. But hornpipes are one; they were literally made out of animal horns. That's why they were called that.
Oh, yeah.
And abocas. But then we get closer when we start manipulating the recorders, and the shalamu is a term that is the. I learned it because it's the lower register of the clarinet. If you, for instance, if you play bass, alto clarinet, or if you play bassoon, you play more in that register. But the word itself is actually was an instrument. And guess what? Had one reed, was built basically like that. But then they said, well, you know, it's not loud enough. So, you know, human beings, we'll make it a slightly bigger instrument. And then the next thing you know, it's got more holes and keys and whatnot, and it becomes a clarinet in the 18th century, which is pretty cool if you think about it.
Yeah, that seems fairly late, though, you know, to me.
Well, that's by the time we got the actual clarinet. People have been playing the pipe.
Oh, sure,
with
I'm just saying the clarinet's invention
was
the 1800s, right.
It really didn't evolve into itself until then, which is really very specialized if you think about it. People were so surprised by it that the name actually means little trumpet. And it's not a trumpet. It's a reed instrument. It doesn't sound like a trumpet to me, but it does to some people. But I love clarino, clarinetto, all of that stuff. And that's all where we came along the late 18th. The Baroque clarinet is one of those things that, like, you'll see a harpsichord or something, and you'll see this Baroque thing that is a clarinet sort of deal, but it's a... it's a different instrument.
I love Baroque and Rococo.
See, yeah. Architecture. Mm. There we go. Let's let Bonnie and Delaney speak to us.
Oh, I have a treat for you coming back in.
Okay, then.
Mississippi.
Y'all hang on. We'll be back.
Superior. It's more than a name. It's a promise that we make to our customers to provide you the highest quality U.S. farm-raised catfish at your favorite restaurant, your family reunion, or on your dinner table. Hey, this is Steve Azar, and I want to let you know that with Superior Catfish, you know the next bite is as good as the first, time after time, made possible by your friends and neighbors here in Mississippi. Remember, there's catfish, then there is Superior Catfish.
Before heading out in your RV, go through your propane system safety checklist. Take a look at exterior vents and clear away debris and blockage. Check propane cylinders for wear and tear. Inspect all propane appliance connections thoroughly for frays and damage. Make sure your RV has a DC fire extinguisher and propane carbon monoxide and smoke detectors, and have the vehicle inspected annually. Remember, always leave repairs to the professionals. Energy for everyone. Propane. Visit mspropane.com. That's mspropane.com to learn more.
When the storm
in the air, rednecks, white socks and blue ribbon beer, a cowboy's cussing, a pinball machine, a drunk at the bar is getting noisy and mean, and some guy on the phone says I'll be home soon, dear. Rednecks, white socks and blue ribbon beer.
No, so lest y'all think that we're making judgments here, we have the prime example.
That's me, baby.
Here this morning.
I drink a blue ribbon beer now. I just don't have many white socks. That's my problem.
I have enough for everybody.
Yeah. I just don't wear. I have like one pair of socks. I wear, you know.
When you're forced.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wear boots a lot, so I have to, or they get a little. Ugh.
I love socks.
Yeah. I mean, in the winter, but I try to avoid them. I mean, I'll wear Johnston and Murphy's without socks. But, you know, I don't know. It just keeps me a little cooler. This time of year, though, I'll freeze without socks. Are you the same way?
Do you?
Yeah. The socks just. That's the trick in the winter, I think.
That's the first reason I get hot and the first reason I get cold.
There you go. Exactly.
You know? Yeah. That's true. Anyway, that's in the garden, does this happen? I'll tell you what will drive me crazy is wet socks in the garden. If my boots leak, it's a done day.
It's the same way when you're duck hunting, garden mama. If you get wet, it's like, all right, this is miserable.
This is so sad.
Golly, where's the fire? Where's my bed?
Yeah. Bring me that. There's just something about that.
What is the craziest place? Like, you heard that song I sent you this week.
Yeah.
All right. And you know that it's kind of crazy. The Bee Gees, Leo Sayer.
Don't try to wrap your heads around this, friends.
I'm not going to play that because it's way too early in the morning for you.
It's really tough.
And then Guns N' Roses in there. So it's like three things mixed into one. And they do a great job. But I was thinking about this for a couple of days. I'm like, what is that plant that would go with that song? Like, what's the most difficult, multi-layered, hardest thing to grow? But yet, when it's put together right, you go, wow, that is...
Bat flowers.
What is this again?
They're bat flowers. They look like bats when they bloom.
Really?
But until then, they're just really not attractive and very difficult to deal with.
Okay. I'm going to have to look up a bat
flower.
Look up
bat flowers.
You've blown my mind.
They're
now
really gorgeous. Now, I got other ones, but the bat flower is the one that I think of because I travel across the neighborhood to see my friends when it blooms, okay? Because it's that unusual. Wonderful plant.
Bat flower. Here it
bat
is.
Flowers.
I mean, that is exactly
See,
as you...
looks like a bat.
Exactly. I've never seen anything like... What is that color?
You think I made that up, but I didn't.
Call it a taca chantrieri.
It's such an iridescent purple-black that in the light it can look either color. But they do look batty. They're very batty.
Hmm.
Perfect space and arrangement and all that stuff.
It's got all kind of stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
We got some tentacles and beautiful waxy green leaves and then that... Is it a velvety type of, or is it that, you know,
no,
is it like
slick.
A tulip?
They're slick.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They're slightly, the whole thing has a certain quality to it. Anytime there's that much flower, they have to have a certain density because otherwise they would just shred the first time the wind blew. So it's a little bit dense.
Yeah, the complexity of that that flower
that
is something else, isn't it?
It's all about getting pollinated, you know?
Something's
got to get pollinated, and that flower is going to attract whatever it is.
Man, that thing, it looks delicious to something, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, that would be mine. There's some cacti that I find difficult. There's some orchids that I don't grow because I know I don't have the conditions for them. But that's one that I know someone who grows it. I can't grow it. I love it.
Well, the seed looks like a cashew almost, but
it does.
Not as big.
But it's that shape. That's an interesting one, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Nice plant.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that. That's really
now
cool.
Now you've got one you want.
Yeah, now I'm like, what in the world is this thing? I don't know anything about that.
Now you know more than you did. So it makes
Jesse,
it a good day.
He was telling me, what was the flower, the something, oon?
Oh, talking about the cardoons.
The cardoons. I was like, a cardoon? And I said, would you please spell that for me? And he nailed it. I said, well, that's what I thought, but that's what I love about this show. You learn every day.
Well, and there's somebody, every plant attracts somebody. So you may not want to grow what everybody else is growing, or you may just want to outdo them at what they're growing. There are people, that's why we have biggest tomato contests, you know, and stuff like that, because there are people who just really want to do it bigger than anybody else, or as we say around here, more Texas than anybody else. God bless y'all.
This is so cool. I just want to read this real quickly.
Yeah.
We're talking about the bat flower. These colors, under ordinary circumstances, act as a carrion mimic. They attract attention for animals that consume decaying matter. However, that's not the case with the T. chantieri. Flies may enter through the opening in the flower and crawl inside, thinking that there's decaying matter in the center of the flower. However, it's light that serves as a guide for the flies through the tunnel of the flower.
Yep.
However, because the flowers have nothing to offer the visitors, they may soon try to leave. But it's so cool. I mean, it's like helmet stamens and, you know,
all of that stuff. Yeah.
Wow.
There's a member of the bean family that is so difficult. It's a tropical plant. It's so difficult to pollinate that it actually works backwards from everything else in its environment, so that only the critter that gets in there that can use its nectar is going to get in there, because that's the only way it works. And I've always found
highly
it fascinating
evolved,
how nature just really does adapt. You know, when I wrote about tropical plants, the hardest thing I think for me to wrap my head around was the notion that there actually are more plants that need pollinating in the tropics than there are pollinators. And so that's why we get all of these exotically crazy, weird flowers, because and things that bloom at night and things that only bloom in June, you know what I mean? All of these very specific things, because that's when the pollinators are able to keep the plants going forward. And that's, frankly, that's what we're all looking for, is the ability to continue the species. So that's how the bat flower does it, in a very convoluted way. Eventually it gets pollinated. Talking about roses for just a quick minute, I want to wrap up on that before we get to the end of the hour. I do think that if you grow roses in their own bed, which a lot of people do, you particularly need to do this. But even if you don't, even if like me, your roses are among other plants in beds, this is really the perfect time to clean up. You don't want this year's little problems. I had a couple of leaf spot things, you know, black spot, just like usual. I don't want that to be around next year. It'll come in on its own probably anyway. But if I have the opportunity to stop it, I will do that. And by cleaning out around, keep getting the weeds out of the bed, getting the old flowers out of the bed, taking out anything that's really not contributing to the whole health of that flower bed, in my case, acorns. I've also got a couple of little ground covers in there that need to be pulled out, because they're in the way of the rose row that I have. I'm going to dig one up, because I'm going to change the angle of that particular bed, and this is a really good time to do that too. The conditions are wet enough, and it's both good for digging up as well as for replanting. Rake away the dead flowers. Get out the dropped leaves. Sometimes we even need to take out the old mulch. If you pull back, if you, for instance, use pine straw or bark mulch and you pull it back and you see that you've got white mycelia running through it, that tells you it's time to compost that. Or in my case, I'll put the pine straw down as a path somewhere else in the garden. But that's not working as well for you as mulch at that point. And in fact, it can take water that was intended for the roses and just hold it in that structure. So give yourself that opportunity to do the remulching, to do the enjoying, so the roses aren't just a lot of work next spring. Let's see. Randy in Starkville, for 3.5 years, half drops leaves totally earlier than the other side. Oh, yeah. Well, now, this is not interesting. This is interesting. I'm sorry. It's not unusual. I have seen it where one side of the tree drops everything and the other side doesn't. I don't have an explanation for you, but I can tell you that there is something affecting one side that doesn't affect the other, it's usually not a problem as long as they go ahead and fall off within that same 3 or 4 week period. We can talk about it a little bit more in the next segment, and we will do that because we're going to get out of here for a moment, but then we'll be right back.
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from 3 licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.us.
Think of all the comforts your family enjoys around your home. When you include propane appliances throughout your home, you can have even greater comfort, from endless hot water to softer clothing and cozier heat on cold winter days. With an all-propane home, you'll also enjoy greater efficiency and energy savings compared to all-electric homes. Go to PERC.com and ask why propane. The answer will be clear. Energy for everyone. Propane. Visit MSPropane.com.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green, here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. My thanks to Ken Hackman for sitting in last week so that I could go forth and have some fun. Yeah, that's right. There was a wedding involved, not mine, promise. Not Lance's, promise. But anyway, we're both, no, it wasn't us. The good news is that the folks who got married, my daughter and my now son-in-law, but we just call him my son in our family. My daughter-in-law is my daughter. That's how that works. You get in with us, you're in the family. You know, that's how that works. Wonderful, delightful, great to expand our great happiness and our great love and find some more people to do the same thing with us. Delightful. Appreciate Ken taking care of things and appreciate Lance for keeping Ken on track. So y'all are great. Appreciate all of y'all. It takes a village, literally, to get me anywhere to do anything. And I'm certainly not a child, but that's how that works. Corinne in Jackson, this is a good one. She's looking at lemon cypress trees in containers, and she says she wants to put them in a container at the church, so she can't go cover them up, but would they survive? It has had purple fountain grass in it, and she's ready to make a change. I think they'd be fine. Now, these do get big. But like most trees, they will adapt to the size of the container you put them in to a certain extent. They're not going to grow and break the container the first year, but you will have to keep an eye on them. The only thing I would tell you that you need to be aware of is that they will need a very, very well-drained soil. And by that I mean there may be, if the winter turns out to be dry the first year that you've put them in, you may have to go water them when you go to church. But they should be just fine. They don't need to ever sit in, have wet feet. If the containers are likely to hold water at any point, you need to improve the soil or improve the drainage in the containers. But they're beautiful plants, and I like them. I think they have a certain, they're a fluffy quality that not a whole lot of other plants have. And I think that will work very, very well for you. I like it. A little bit more about the cardoon world. Someone sent me a text and said that they ate them and didn't like them. I think that's certainly you can make that decision. Everybody has a taste, but they are in the group of things like sunchokes and artichokes.
Yeah, it's like artichoke.
You know, kind of. Okay. They don't really taste like artichokes to me. But then, by the way, you have to cook them a whole lot if you don't realize that. They make beautiful flowers, but the stems are what you eat, and they do have to be cooked for quite some time because they're not great when they're by, you know, by themselves, and we don't eat them raw. So they're pretty good for you. They are the family. The whole family of artichoke-type plants have a rough time in our world just because of the humidity more than anything else. The long, prolonged heat in the summer is not good for them, as I was telling Jesse. But they can survive it. And in his case, he's managed to get them to survive and start up in another spot. So I think that's excellent. Start themselves over again. I think that's brilliant. I like it. Sometimes we have to think about what else to do and what not to do. So today on my list of things that we probably don't want to do right now is to start really working too hard at repotting houseplants. The reason for this is because if you have to, if the plant has broken its container and you're bringing it indoors, sure, that's all true. But if not, take it inside like it is and let it be a little bit pot bound. Let it wait until spring, because here's the deal. They're going to go through some transplant shock when you repot something. And when you do that and then immediately bring it indoors, all you're doing is reducing humidity and reducing its ability to recover from its own heavy transpiration rate. So give it a chance to get comfortable in the house and then either repot it soon if you need to. But if you can wait until spring, that's even better. There are a lot of tips like that you get from me in the newsletter and on this program. And quite frankly, somebody said to me this week, "You talk about plants all the time." Yeah, that's true. I do. But I talk about a lot of things. And this was in the grocery store. And she said, "Well, how come?" And she started asking me about things that we don't grow here so well. I had to say, we can't grow everything. That's true. We can't grow oranges in central Mississippi without a greenhouse. That's absolutely true. And she was sad about that. So I said, "Well, here's the news. Build a greenhouse." And that's really what opens up that other piece of the marginal properties. If you feel like you don't have enough of a space, then probably you need a different kind of plant. But if you got a little bit of space and you can make a greenhouse there to take care of things that you want to grow that are considered marginal, why not do that? I'm always, no matter how many times I plant the cestrum family, the night bloomers as well as the day bloomers, they last a couple of years, but then we'll have a rough time in the middle of the winter here in Zone 8, and I'll lose them. So that's another plant that I wish I could grow in a greenhouse. Not a super overheated one, not a tropical greenhouse, just one that did not actually freeze. As you can see, the magnificent purple tree in supertalk.tv. with the disco ball on it, I would just want to mention it again because it's such a great idea. And probably by next year, there'll be, if the Bottle Tree Garden Tour comes to my house again, there will definitely also be disco balls. We're not going to change the name of it or anything, but we're going to probably work in some more outdoor joys. If you've got big planters on your deck and they're empty because you grow summer flowers in them, or you know, maybe you grow tomatoes in them or something like that, consider a different approach. I don't like looking out the window in the winter and seeing empty pots. That's, even though I know that there's stuff in there that's going to come up later, I want there to be some presence. And a small shrub is a really good way to get that presence in a container, in a planter, in a mixed bed that really is focused on spring and summer plants. So consider that. These are the sorts of things that you can find at garden centers this time of year that are just absolutely beautiful. And it'll be there for you, whether it's a small abelia like the one called Mardi Gras that has such crazy colors in the leaves, or whether it's a dwarf Sasanqua, any of those plants that you feel like would be more interesting than the naked pot, please do that. I hope that you will enjoy doing it. Now, somebody said to me, "But when my daffodils come up, there won't be room for it." Okay, fine. So, you know, maybe we lift it out, put it someplace else, or maybe we move some of the daffodils. But the point is, you can always work these things out. You don't have to go in one direction. You can always adapt in the garden, and I think you should. I like dwarf hollies. Been ragging on the giant holly today that's eating the driveway. But I got to tell you, dwarf hollies are pretty. They're fancy too. You know, they have a structure to them, an evergreen nature. They're not going to wilt, even if you don't water them. They're not going to keel over. They're going to be nice, you know.
I grew up with beautiful holly tree in the front of the yard. My dad is still there, and it's, you know, 40 feet tall now. Mm-hmm. It's like a big Christmas tree. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Beautiful plant.
It's up next, pretty close to a huge pine tree. But we had the plant, you know, the bush style around the corners of the house. It's like a different style holly. What mm-hmm. is the, so you mm-hmm. have a tree style holly, mm-hmm. okay, and then there's the one that's kind of a bush. The leaves are a little different on mm-hmm. them. One's more circular with the point. Another one has that little, and it's like a flying squirrel look, you know.
Do they both make berries?
They do, yeah. Yeah, okay. They're both beautiful trees. But the tree one, I mean, it, over the many years, just continues.
We grow English holly. We grow one called Nellie Stevens, which is one of my favorites, uh-huh. of course. But probably the ones at the corners of the house are either a Cornuta or a Burford holly. It's just a different group. Ilex actually has that yaupon in it. You know, doesn't have any thorns at all, has the little bitty red berries right now, and it's a native plant with little tiny leaves. It has Ilex decidua, the Ilex that drops all of its leaves in possum haw is what we call it around here.
Possum haw, we've talked about
that.
Has
berries
that, yes.
in the winter that are so gorgeous and light up the gray skies. So Ilex is a big family, and a lot of landscape architects shy away from them because they do have to have a certain level of maintenance. But in that kind of four-corner position, you know, at the corners of the house to anchor the bed, I think they're a brilliant choice.
Now, that was kind of what I'm leading to. The, mm-hmm. you know, the one on the further side of the house is huge and beautiful and, you know, robust. The tree seems to do very well and continues to mm-hmm. just, you know, it mm-hmm. looks healthy. But the one closest to the garage, it has gotten a bit, you know, wiry, spindly. It's mm-hmm. not mm-hmm. healthy looking. Is there a way to, you know, diagnose maybe what's going
sure.
wrong with that? And
sure.
I can try to help figure it out.
Do you park a car on that side of the garage where the plant is?
Well, in the garage. It's like the garage, and then on the corner mm-hmm. there, it's outside of the
okay.
garage. So, but it is
so
in
it
a
So it does
bed.
Have a limited it has
it
a limited root zone there.
Yes.
It also probably doesn't get as much sun as the other side.
Likely not. No.
And it probably doesn't get as much water, or it might get more water.
Probably a little more, maybe.
Because you know, it comes
less,
off the roof and runs right under it.
Less
so all of those
water.
Things that change the environment. You can tell what the holly bush likes. You know, it's on the other side of the house.
That's kind of what I was trying to figure out. It really likes that other side.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
But
the
this
conditions
is a much
are just
more,
better.
Well, and it's ground-based, those the others. And this is more in a bed
mm-hmm.
that is up, you know, a foot and a half. So maybe the
so it has
root
that stress.
Maybe,
too, probably, yeah.
Okay.
It probably has that stress of just being around
sense.
Other plants.
Gotcha.
Interestingly enough, we have so many. We have a bunch of good holly choices. There's some that don't make berries because not everybody wants berries. But when we start pruning to make wreaths, we do cut off the wildlife's food, so that's why we need to have lots of holly, so we can leave some and take some if that's one that you like to decorate with. It's certainly I certainly like it. It's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for us to share what's in the yard and put it in the house. Oh, let's see. Oh, these are interesting, Ken. These are rooting well, I think. So let's see what I potted these a couple of months ago and haven't really seen much changes. Well, if they've been sitting there for a couple of months, I'm going to say there's not enough light and not enough fertilizer because they should be growing at this point. This is Christmas cactus pieces. By the way, I will put up this week the difference between Thanksgiving cactus and Christmas cactus in terms of the shapes of the leaves. I'm going to talk about them all next week. I will bring that to you. And I'm happy to tell you that I have these two plants. They were both in bloom at the exact same time, bought them at the same time, brought them to the house, have grown them there now. This is probably 6 years or so. For the first time this year, they both had exactly the same treatment. These are the ones I told you I wasn't going to repot, you know, because I just felt like I needed to see. They like to be a little bit crowded. Well, one of them's got blooms on one side but not the other, and the other one is about to burst into full bloom about 3 weeks earlier than usual. So I don't know what that means, but I do know that they're going to be lovely whenever they happen to bloom, and that, yes, I will probably go and purchase another one so that I have one that's actually going to make it past Thanksgiving. I may not have one. Yep, 3 months ago when you did that. They should have grown by now. So, Ken, what I'm going to suggest is that you give them a little fertilizer and perhaps a little bit more sun if you can, or supplemental light if they're indoors. I mean, they're indoors for the picture, but if they're indoors, okay? Interestingly enough, I have a container that fell out of another container. I didn't realize that I had put this tiny little container inside a larger pot, and I was rooting something in it, forgot about it. Came back yesterday to move that container indoors, and the other plant fell out of it. It has beautiful roots. It has, I have absolutely no reason to do this, but as if I needed another philodendron, there it is. Sometimes benign neglect is your friend in gardening, is all that I'm saying this for. It's not because I forgot it and was, oh, I'm so great, I can just stick this in the here and it'll grow. No. I say about my grandmother, if she had taken the broom and stuck it in the ground, it would have grown more brooms. Okay, there are people who are able to propagate that readily. This was just something, I stuck the cutting and forgot about it. So lucky for me, it did do a lovely job. I don't need this plant. I have so many of these. It's just really funny what you do to yourselves. I think these are Thanksgiving cactus. Well, okay, Ken, they do look a little bit rounder, but I can't actually see the points on the leaf. But that is another reason why they should be in full tilt, growing, getting, you know, being very happy and doing well now. They're just not. They haven't gotten kicked off. Obviously, they're well-rooted. They're beautiful, bright green color. We just need them to grow some more. I think that'll be good. There are some things in this world that just fascinate me, and one of them is parrots. I don't know if you have ever thought about this. I don't know. I knew parrots, some are bigger than others. You know, some are white, some are gray, some are bright colors. But it never occurred to me this is a new thing from the University of Hong Kong. I had no idea that people actually spend their careers trying to figure out how come some parrots are one color and some are another, and how do they change those colors? Well, there's a genetic switch, and now we finally have found out about it. The University of Hong Kong, together with the Portugal folks at Biopolis, have discovered it, and they were really surprised. This is diversity. This does occur naturally out in the world, and their question is, how does this happen? Well, they started by demonstrating that across all of the parrots, the yellow and the red correspond to two very specific pigments that do not occur in other birds, another identifying factor for this particular species, for the parrot species. So there were indications in the literature about the existence of these two different forms of, I can't pronounce the name of the things. They couldn't believe they were actually seeing the results, but they did. And so now they understand. Now they will research what flips the switch. But now that we know a little bit more, I think I appreciate feathers even more than I did. And I truly do love feathers. But the fact that the parrot species can pick those colors over time, over the evolution of the species, and they can change them going forward, I think is great. I love that. There's some parrots that have different colors at different points in their life, and of course there are other ones that are the same color from the time they're born, but it's just interesting. Let's see. Good question. When do I prune hydrangeas? That depends on which ones they are. If you have limelight hydrangeas or any of the ones that are paniculatas, that type, it'll say hydrangea paniculata on the label. Those are going to be pruned in the wintertime because they bloom on the wood that they grow next spring and summer, and then they bloom towards the end of the summer and into the fall. The French hydrangeas, though, really do bloom on what's there right now. So if you prune them now, they're probably not going to be able to bloom for you. So I would give yourself the chance to put them on a calendar for after they flower next summer, okay? Different ones need different things. But, yeah, we do love our hydrangeas. All right, now, let's see where we're going on the music road today, folks. Y'all stick around. We'll be right back.
Down by the border, Marsh King's daughter, did you know? Clothed in tatters, always will be town. Where did you go? Mountains of the moon, electric mountains of the moon.
up before the dawn and home long after the sun sets. We pass this farm work ethic on to our children, too. They have their chores just like yours, but we also raise animals. Taking care of these animals helps them understand just how important what we do on this farm is for their future and Mississippi's.
Another way Mississippi farmers grow what's important to your life, the farm families of Mississippi.
Hello, I'm Sean Tindall, Commissioner of the Mississippi Department of Public Safety. Since 2021, Mississippi has seen a 25% reduction in fatalities involving crashes with commercial motor vehicles. Many of those crashes could have been avoided. DPS, through its MHP's Motor Carrier Unit and the Commercial Transportation Enforcement Division, is partnering with Big Rig Truckers to conduct safety checks across our state for the Trooper and Trucker Safety Initiative. The Department of Public Safety and the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration are working together to keep our highways safe for everyone. Thank you, and drive safely.
The best made to
order. Don't care if you do, cause under you ain't got no money, just
well, I guess if you said so, I better have to pack my things and go.
You know, you don't think of this as a kid's song, but I do. I used to babysit some kids that were very fond of this song, and I would encourage them to sing it. And you ever have those Fisher Price recorders where you record something, you know, the kid can do it? Years later, I was told it's still on there and it's horrible. But if kids will sing, come on, get them to sing. Why in the world would I be playing Ray Charles? Well, other than Ray Charles is one of the finest musicians in the whole wide world, today's Charles Day. Not necessarily King Charles, but Charles. And I had no idea, so I wanted to bring this to you. Who's your favorite Charles? Anyway, there's more than 2.5 million Charleses in the United States. It is the ninth most popular name in this country.
Mine would have been my Uncle Sonny, Charles Sonny Talbot. Number two would have been the great Casador, the king in Spain, Charles the whatever.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
Well, I had a little affinity. I worked in a museum
where we
featured
their
art.
I think you and the Spanish culture are pretty thick there. But I got to tell you, I'm pretty fond of Ray Charles. I'm pretty fond of Charles Darwin. Can't say a bad word about Charles Barkley.
How can you? He is a treasure.
I just didn't know that there were that many Charleses. I don't.
Charles in Charge?
Charles in Charge. There you go. See?
Probably my favorite Charles when I was a kid because Nicole Eggert was on there. Just to be honest with
just
you.
Just to be perfectly
yeah,
honest.
Yeah, perfectly honest. I didn't care much about Bayo or the other guy. Willie Ames, that's his name. Yeah, Curly.
Wow,
yeah.
Forgot all about him.
Yeah,
goodness
that's
gracious.
That's a name from the past.
That is one. That is one from way out.
My recall is just today.
Somehow or another, I don't know what happened. What they put in your coffee today.
I don't know.
But
sugar.
That might be what's working. You know, it is true, though, that names go in cycles. And, for instance, King Charles and all that, you know, we get that. We understand all those bits and pieces where that name has to flow down. But I was surprised to find out that there are so many people that for whom Charles is the middle name in the United States. Obviously, with Ray Charles, it's the last name, but I think he's actually Ray Charles something, so he has another last name, but that's neither here nor there. I didn't realize it was so popular as a name as a middle name.
Well, I grew up with a great friend, Charles Jeffcoat. Everybody knew him as Chip, but I always wondered how we got, and I had several friends named Chip over the years, and it's like Henry and Hank. You know, how do you Hank from Henry, and how do you get Chip from Charles?
They figured it all out. That's for true. I have to tell you this, JR has absolutely blown us apart. His wife's Thanksgiving cactus are in full tilt bloom and they are magnificent. Thank you for sending those. They're so pretty. When you look at the Thanksgiving cactus, those leaves are sharply pointed and the flowers tend to have, they're tubular flowers, but they will have a yellow stamen.
Tubular, that's a word from the 80s.
That's a good word.
Gnarly, tubular.
The Christmas cactus does not have as sharp a points. It has rounder leaves, and it has purple stamens for the most part, brownish or purplish.
So the one without the blooms on it that we see,
yeah,
that comes from Ken.
Let's see.
It has that jagged, almost like a saw blade.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of the saw blade going.
And so which one is that?
I think it's a Thanksgiving.
Okay.
But if it's a round leaf with some slightly little spears on the side of the leaf, you know, as opposed to the more dramatic ones, it can actually be the Easter cactus, which is the third of these that blooms in the springtime. So we do get some of all of that. But this particular one, the one leaf that's standing up looks like Christmas cactus to me. So that's what I think this is. I think it looks like, we need more sunlight, we need more fertilizer, because the growth is too long and not thick enough. We don't want Christmas cactus, Thanksgiving cactus, any of these to dry out, but you also don't want them to be overly wet. It's one of those situations where you can drive yourself crazy trying to remember whether or not you watered it. So sometimes it's a real good choice for a reservoir pot, particularly if it's an established plant, because then it can take up water as it needs it from what is available. So that's a possibility, too. I am kind of fond of Ray Charles, but I have to tell you that his quote is my favorite today. Sometimes my dreams are so deep that I dream that I'm dreaming. I'm going to remember that one. I like that very, very much. I love red flowering purples. Let me try that again. I love red flowering pineapple sage. Pineapple sage is blooming now, and I really like it. I like candelabra plants. I like the first pansies. They're all very, very sweet. But I've got to tell you that when it comes down to it, my favorite flowers in the fall are going to be sasanquas. Encore azaleas run a close second. If you join us on supertalk.tv today, you will see both of those things floating by in the flowers that are in the video there. I'm crazy about encore azaleas. Now, they fill our fall, of course, with both that classic shape and a lot more colors than you might think if you haven't seen them in bloom. They are really graceful right now, and we prune them in the spring so we don't have to worry about them right now. They react the same way they bloom on last year's growth and this year's growth. That's a benefit for the encore azaleas. I have said before that if I was going to be in horticulture school now, I'd be working on flowering shrubs because I think they are the longest and most durable of our plants and probably the hardest ones to breed. The good news for me is that a fellow named Buddy Lee took all this up back in the day, and he has, in fact, bred the encores, the original double-blooming azaleas, so we get to take a chance with different colors, and we get to take a chance with different flower shapes, too. Some of them are quite different. Camellia sasanqua, though, is native to southern Japan. I'm crazy about this plant. They are small trees for the most part. They are, you find some that are dwarfed that are even smaller than that. But they mostly have white flowers, not all in their native Japan, they're white. But we have been able to select and breed them over the years, so now we have whites and pinks and pink and whites and even reds. I mean, it's a beautiful palette of flowers in the sasanqua group. Yes, they are related to Camellia japonicas that bloom later in the winter with bigger flowers, and sasanquas tend to be a landscape plant, whereas japonicas tend to be the camellia that we use as a cut flower. So they are a very different application, but both equally evergreen and equally beautiful. You'll see them with these dark, shiny leaves, maybe an inch and a half long in most cases. They're in home landscapes, they're in church gardens, public spaces, sometimes even a roof garden, maybe even in an atrium if it's a really humid atrium. But anywhere that we want autumn color with a decidedly southern sense of place, we plant sasanquas. Now, this is an absolutely beautiful plant. What in the world do we use it for? Well, we use it in some cases. I think it might be a nice plant anywhere you've got morning sun, for example, or dappled sun all day. It's not a big old tree, but it can grow with bigger trees. I like it next to the house as something to raise your eye up towards maybe the second floor or towards the roof level or just to inspire you towards the sky. It's a beautiful plant that way. It can be lovely in a hedgerow between houses. Sasanqua has a lot of uses, and it should be planted, I think. If you're going to plant something like crepe myrtle, I think you should also plant sasanquas. What does sense of place mean anyway? Well, let me put it to you this way. I have several different ideas for what sense of place means, and you may not agree with any of these. If I see a picture of the desert, I think, well, that's a desert. if I see the picture of the desert and it has pyramids in it, I think, oh, that must be Egypt. That's a sense of place. It's a sense of identity that comes from what is in a place and allows us to relate to it. Certain architectures, you know, the Rococos, the Baroques, all these things give us our particular sense of place. But certain plants also define a place. I have said that no Southern movie worth its salt, when it's going to do, like, you know, serious Southern with a capital S, it's got to have a cemetery and it's got to have Spanish moss in it. You know that's true. Come on, even if it's just a ride-by, everybody does that all the time. That, too, is a sense of place. In the case of the Sasanqua, there are not a whole lot of parts of the United States where you're going to have a tree with that many flowers on it in October and November. And even in this year, we may be moving a little bit later on into the year past Thanksgiving. I don't know. It just depends on how their flower season lasts. But they have been beautiful, and that's one of the things that we see here. It's also a flower that is an entree. It opens up the fall bloomers. It tells us that pretty soon now we're going to have Lenten roses and Camellia japonicas and then witch hazels and forsythias, and the next thing you know, it's going to be spring. So Sasanquas are a big deal to me, and I hope they are to you, too. They're fun plants. I know that there are a lot of things to do right now in the garden, but I want to hearken back to something that we said earlier and make sure that you take some time to sit out and enjoy it. Light a fire, look at the moon, talk to your neighbors, you know, get to know your dog a little better, perhaps, wake him up, take him outside, whatever you have to do. But make sure that you're giving yourself some of that renewal. And, you know, after a long, hot summer, everybody looks forward to having some time of pleasant weather, something that's a little bit more fun to enjoy. And indeed, cool nights are one of those things. I know that there's in Zone 8, particularly, we're looking at, I love how the meteorologists will tell you it's going to be cooler this week and then it's going to be warmer next week. That really doesn't mean anything in the garden. It just means that we're going to take advantage of this warmer patch to do that soil prep, to make sure that everything's tucked in neatly so that when it is kind of weird out there, we don't have to go out and take care of something because we've already brought the plants in and we've already tucked in the others with some fresh mulch. I think all of those things make a lot of sense to us. The Sasanqua that I'm looking at right now is one of the pinks with a white edge. That's at supertalk.tv. And I do really appreciate the beauty of these plants. I like japonicas, but there's just something about that fat flower on a fairly small tree, small, in some cases a shrub, that really makes me very, very happy. So I hope that does the same thing for you.
Just so you know, on the way out, we got, and it may not be the same one, but there's very few people in this world with the name Jimbo Mathis. And I know that Jimbo Mathis originally spelled it with an I, and there's a U in the name, is a stage name, but the beautiful picture, the last one we have at 9:33, that is, what is that?
That's a beautiful, that looks like a Christmas cactus.
Okay,
It's not, I can't see the stamens, but it doesn't look pointed enough on the leaves for me to tell you that it would be a Thanksgiving one.
Okay. And secondly, the out song is going to be a Jimbo Mathis, even if that's not the original Jimbo Mathis. Had to do that. Thank you, Corinth.
We'll give you the credit anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
This looks like the Thanksgiving cactus, and yet it doesn't. Uh-huh. Now, we'll tell you there's a whole lot of breeding going on. They'll cross one with the other, and sometimes the ones that we're looking at are not necessarily what I think. So I'm just gonna say this one, I don't think it's quite pointy enough, but it does have points. If the stamens on the flower are yellow, it's Thanksgiving cactus. So that's the other piece.
What's the one that grows with the tower and then the flower?
The tower and the flower.
Yeah. Hmm. The cactus, and it seems to do better.
I don't know.
Okay, yeah, it's just like a long cactus, and then it has the flower at the top.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll see if I can find
I'll try and figure it out.
I'll find an old picture I have in the coffers and annals of history.
Oh, dear. Well, we know it's here somewhere.
Well, it's on my phone. That's why.
Oh, okay, good. I don't have it. In that case, I don't have it. That's good. Hey, now, listen, we missed something, and I don't want to let us get out of here on this one without mentioning that yesterday was Clean Out Your Refrigerator Day. So if you didn't, you still have time. And that is something that needs to get done. I cleaned out my refrigerator and found some soup this morning, so that was a good thing.
Uh-oh.
They put the rest in the freezer, so you get that. It's also National Bundt Day, B-U-N-D-T, like bundt cake.
Nothing bundt cakes.
Nothing bundt cakes. That's a fun thing. What a great idea. I wonder who. I mean,
they're amazing.
I'm proud. They are. They're delicious.
Golly.
I'm very proud of whoever thought of that particular pun because it works.
All the mattress companies are great at it. Like all the mattress stores.
Oh, don't get me started.
They got the
hair salons, Sheer Delights.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, I mean we go right.
The car washes too.
car washes too.
Mr.
Coffee shops. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, y'all got this week. That's y'all's homework is to get us. Century Plant. Thank you, Andrea. That's the one I was thinking of, I believe, yes.
Thank you, Andrea.
That's the homework of our listeners this week. Take a picture.
Andrea wins.
Of the coolest or the craziest business name, like the Mr. Car Wash and
there
stuff
you
like
that.
Yeah, please,
you
in your town, show us
the
coolest.
We need that. Yeah, we got to have that. This is really pretty. My goodness, that's a beautiful, beautiful. Oh, but let's listen to this. It's Jimbo Mathis. We'll be right back.
Yes, I'm going west of great long river flow. I'm going to some place that I ain't never been to before.
Running a business is tough. If you're struggling with HR benefits and payroll, you're not alone. Many businesses just don't have the resources to keep up. That's where MWG Employer Services comes in. We provide a full range of employer services with everything from payroll to benefits to HR services and compliance and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget. We're a Mississippi-based company that can help you focus on what you do best, growing your business. Call MWG Employer Services today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWG Employer Services.
Do you ever feel like you're in the dark? Well, with a propane generator, you'll never be in the dark again, at least when the lights go out. Enjoy the comfort and safety of knowing you have a propane generator always ready when the electricity goes out. Propane generators assure you'll always have power. Propane fueled, clean cooking, hot water on demand, warm and consistent heat, and power when you need it most. Why would you choose anything else? Energy for everyone, propane. Visit mspropane.com. That's mspropane.com today.
At Fillmore Buick.
I feel the earth move under my feet. I feel the sky tumbling down. I feel my heart start to tremble whenever you're around. Ooh, baby, when I see your face, mellow as the month of May. Oh, darling, I can't stand it when you look at me that away. Hey, I feel the earth move under my feet.
Little Carole King for you this morning. Come on. You know, we got to enjoy that. Let's talk to Faye in West Point. Thank you for calling today, Faye. What's on your mind?
Well, I need to talk to you about Morning Glory Vine.
Okay.
I planted one back in the first part of May, and it got to about 6 feet tall, and probably three people could not reach around it. It has not had the first bloom on it, not the first one, all summer long. Now, I watered it, so it's not due to lack of water.
Mm-hmm.
The man was here working my yard one day, and I just said, okay, just pull the thing up. Pull it up from the roots and let it down the trellis, and I'll just cut it off. And he said, no, let's don't do that. Well, about 2 days later, I was out in the flower bed, and I had about six blooms
mm-hmm,
on it.
Mm-hmm.
In the last 2 weeks, I cannot tell you how many hundreds of blooms that this thing. So does it not bloom to fall?
What color is it?
Purple.
There are lots and lots of morning glories. If you planted a named variety, in, you know, from a seed pack that somebody had already.
No, it was a vine. I mean, it was a established.
Okay, they would tell you whether or not it was going to be a short day or a long day bloomer. But many of the ones that we just get, like we go and get a seed pod from somewhere, or we dig up a piece of the plant, they're going to bloom when they can. In other words, this one had to put on enough growth to get to the point where it could put on the flowers and probably the shortening of the days going in. I have Heavenly Blue Morning Glories blooming now better than they've bloomed all summer. And I also have moonflowers that are blooming, which usually for me bloom in August. So I'm not sure what's going on this year altogether. But yes, a lot of times the bigger flowers in the Morning Glory family tend to bloom a little bit later in the season. I think this one just got a good start. I'd be willing to bet that the soil around your trellis is rich in nitrogen, probably has compost and good mulch and all that. So it put It put all those leaves on, and then it just finally got through using all that up and was able to bloom. And isn't that cool? That's wonderful.
What a surprise. It's on the street, so people are just taking pictures of it. It's crazy.
I love that.
The other shock to me was that in the morning time, before the new bloom actually opens, the one from the night before, in fact, it really later in the night, that the old ones turn red, the dead ones.
Oh, how interesting!
Like a real rosy red. Is that common?
I don't know. We're on to something with that one. Sometimes they do change shades, but I don't know of one that goes purple to red. I would have thought purple to more of a faded out white.
But that's going to fall off.
Yeah,
it's not going to be red.
It's just a matter of their aging.
It's the one that blooms.
Yeah, just the way it's aging.
Yeah, today.
How cool is that?
And then I have have you ever seen a candy corn plant?
Yes, love that. You're growing everything.
Oh, my goodness. mine is just, it is crazy. I've had one every year for the last 4 or 5 years, and they just never
did. Do you grow it from seed, or do you keep the one from before?
No, a plant.
Yeah. And you just keep it.
And I have it on a tripod, fishing poles. And it's probably 8 feet tall.
It's a beautiful plant.
And it is huge. And the little candy corns are just, you know, I mean, they look like little candy corns.
So festive, yes. And that whole Cuthea family is just brilliant in the fall particularly. They'll bloom a little bit the rest of the time, but they really take over when we get to autumn. That's fun.
Yeah, okay.
Please take some pictures.
I appreciate your time.
Take some pictures and send them to me. MamaOnAir@yahoo.com. Thank you, Faye. I appreciate that. I love seeing them. It's not because I want to steal your pictures. I don't. If I use them, I credit you. But I do love to have other people's things when they're growing stuff I can't grow. Like that century plant that I forgot about. Sorry about that. Didn't mean to forget. This has been just a really great morning. Y'all are terrific. Y'all give us so much input, so much fun, so many stories about plants, so many stories about what you're growing and how you're growing it. It all means the world to us. I would be remiss today if I did not. You may have noticed that we are missing one of our most loyal, dearest friends, and that's our friend Trey Moore has passed away. So if you miss Trey's memes, it's because he's not here anymore. The good news is that's only sadness for us, okay? If you live as long as I've lived, you know that the saddest is for the ones of us who are still on Earth. There's no better human being. There's no greater opportunity for us to celebrate somebody. And in fact, I'm telling you, you want to celebrate Trey? Grow some more tomatoes and then give them away. There's also that part of it. There are so many opportunities for you to honor the people that have gone on ahead of us. We don't always know what's next. We don't know, but we do know when our one in a million friends takes off. I will never forget when Trey came to see me at the Tupelo Farmers Depot with a huge bag of rattlesnake beans that I had, because I'd been talking about them. And we were friends before that from the radio, and we were friends after that because we had met in person. That's what this program is intended to do, is to bring gardeners into other gardeners' lives, give us all a chance to take that solitary pursuit that we have and find out that there's other people growing Christmas cactus, and there's other people wondering about their tomatoes, and there's other people questioning what in the world that sunflower was in those flowers that they saw today. There's a lot to be said for understanding one another and for missing people that we've lost. And I don't really like that word lost, but it is one that we use a lot. Jim's sending us some really beautiful oriental persimmons, and that's really a beautiful place to end on today. If you're not growing a little bit of your food, take advice from Jim. Take advice from our friend Trey and get yourself some vegetables going. You'll be glad you did. And frankly, everybody around you will be too. There are a lot of things to talk about today. There are a lot of things to do in the garden today. I've got some more plants to put into the flower bed. I've got some more things I need to get moved around into the house and into some warmer spots. Whatever you're doing, I really hope that you will find it as rewarding as I do, that you will find it to be part of the rhythm of your life, part of the world craft. When we get a new word, sometimes we wonder whose word is that. The word world craft has come to me this week because it means the summary of everything that you did, the things that you know how to do, the stuff that you've learned, the stuff that you've put into you. It's not a degree. It's not a book. It's not a phenomenon of social media. It's you and your world craft and your willingness to bring that to me, to the Garden Mama Show, means the world to me. If I didn't have your perspective, nobody wants to hear me all the time. I've got some good experience. I have certainly know a few things, but we really do appreciate knowing each other's, and that has to do with our various world crafts. I'm glad to say that this is going to be the future here. We're going to talk about plants. We're going to talk about what you're growing. We're going to continue to take phone calls and texts about plants. But guess what? Coming up this week, Monday through Friday, I'll be sitting in for Rebecca on Good Things. That's from 2 to 3 in the afternoon on Super Talk. You should be listening to it already. And I hope you'll listen this week because we're going to have some fun. We'll miss you if you're not there. Come back next week. Next Saturday, we'll do some more Garden Mama.
The Garden Mama Show is a production of Super Talk Mississippi Media. Download past episodes at supertalk.fm and contact Garden Mama anytime at mamaonair@yahoo.com. Thanks for choosing the Garden Mama Show.
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from 3 licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.us.
How can propane gas enhance your outdoor experience this season? When it comes to outdoor grilling, there is no better source than propane. But have you thought about a beautiful outdoor fireplace and lighting fueled by propane as well? The perfect setting. Worry-free grilling with propane. A golden propane fire to sit by. And soothing propane lights burning in the background. Impress yourself, friends, and family with propane. Propane. Clean American energy. Visit mspropane.com to learn more.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.